Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, you'll hear our Saturday morning podcast at Toscalito Tire and Automotive in San Rafael. We'll review the Warriors' win over the Timberwolves, preview the Warriors' game against the Boston Celtics, and then you'll hear from the players and Coach Steve Kerr after the game at Oracle Arena on Saturday. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. We'll get to what happened the other day against Minnesota, but let's start with what's going on tonight because they're playing the second-best team in the NBA, the Boston Celtics. The Celtics have been great. Brad Stevens has done such a great job. And even though they had the big injury at the beginning of the year with Gordon Hayward, they've still played great basketball. Although of late, they've kind of lost some games. And Marcus Smart, one of their players, is going out now with a laceration on his hand. He punched a picture frame. How about that?
Yeah, and he's had some outbursts before. Right, he's a pretty passionate guy, and he's had to apologize to his team via Twitter, and I'm sure personally. And Brad Stevens, the Celtics coach, says there's going to be more discipline on top of that. This is a guy that is a big part of their mix. I mean, offensively, he can be a real liability, but he gets after it on the defensive end, and that's part of their identity. They're top defensive rating team in the NBA. That's going to be the thing that gets them deep into the playoffs. But, yeah, to lose a guy like that when you're already – down Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford had what they thought might be a concussion, but he's not suffering symptoms. They've been going through some stuff lately, but they're still on top in the East. They're just very tough defensively. They got wings who can defend. They got Jaylen Brown. They got Jason Tatum. And Jaylen Brown had a tremendous game, maybe his best game of the year, against the Warriors last time in Boston when the Warriors had, I think, 17-point leads twice and had them fritter away. They were held 88 points in that game. Marcus Smart was part of that as far as that defensive intensity that they bring and the ability, like the Warriors, to guard several positions.
Yeah, maybe he had a picture of, I don't know, was it a politician or something that he punched? I mean, you know, you got to think, I guess, before you, as a professional athlete, before you act in anger. But all of us have done something like that where you're mad and then, you know, you don't want to get hurt, but you do something that you really didn't want to do.
It was prior to the game, right? Against the Clippers.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on there, but I can't imagine which politician it would be. But we'll just leave that open to speculation if that was the case. But, it's a loss for a couple of weeks, as I understand it. This is a team that they're right now doing fine without Hayward, but, they've got some young players who are up and down. He brings consistency on the defensive end, and that's something they could count on. So it's going to be tough to lose him for a little while. And as you mentioned, they had a little losing streak. They broke that against the Clippers. And they're going to be coming in tonight, I'm sure, fired up no matter what. There's still going to be a challenge for the Warriors no matter what. It's two different styles of play. Here's the thing, you know, with the Celtics. Is this going to work for them in the playoffs? Because, okay, you got Kyrie Irving. You probably won't have Hayward. You know, maybe at the very end if you're lucky. But he's the one guy they have. It's a go-to guy when you need a bucket in the half-court set in the playoffs, and there are going to be a lot of those. We know how it goes. The pace of play slows down. They don't have much else consistently, maybe Horford in the half-court set. But they don't have a bunch of guys that when you need a bucket, they can get you a bucket. Kyrie is that guy. He's so valuable to that team. But beyond that, without another offensive weapon like a Hayward, it's going to be a tough go for them. I still think LeBron, as long as he's there, you cannot count him out. With all the drama they've had, and they're atrocious defensively, the Cavaliers, you can't count them out when they have the best player on the planet.
Yeah, he just had another triple-double the other day,
yeah.
Although he had a bunch of turnovers in that game, LeBron James. But, you know, when you think about the Warriors and the Celtics and the way they're playing right now, the Warriors have been pretty hot. I mean, you know, when they lose, it's such a big deal. They lost that game to the Rockets. They didn't really play well. But that game against the Timberwolves the other day, their defense wasn't great. I mean, if we can get into that. But the way they moved the basketball, you know, 30-plus assists again, you know, this is the way Steve Kerr wants that offense to click. Everybody was getting touches. The ball was moving so quickly. And the big scorers had big games. I mean, you know, Durant, Curry, Thompson, they were on fire, too. I mean, they were hitting every three-pointer they shot.
And they needed to be because Minnesota kept coming after them. They didn't go away, and they've got a lot of firepower, too. I mean, when you look at Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, and Jamal Crawford's going to be getting buckets when he's 50 in the NBA. I'm pretty sure of that. I mean, I tweeted it out the other night. I'm going to come back in another life, and Jamal Crawford's going to be putting up 20 in a game. He's incredible. Of course, you can go at him at the defensive end, but the Warriors needed to be hot from three-point range the other night to win that game. And they made 21 three-pointers, a season high, 21 of 37 overall. And I think we're approaching 40 assists. You know, it was up and down action. It was a great game to watch. But for the Warriors, you know, the thing is you face a team like Minnesota, and you see where they have these defensive lapses still. Even though they're sixth in the NBA in defensive efficiency, Steve Kerr's talked about it. This is something that probably will get more focus as they get to the playoffs. But now they're going through their fourth consecutive season, potentially, where they're playing 100 games that count. So they're pacing themselves. That's clear, right? So they don't bring the defensive effort consistently all the time. And they didn't the other night. And they've had a lot of first quarters where they give up 40. You know, it's just part of, you know, trying to get yourself to the finish line, right, and then regenerate for the playoffs. I think you saw that with the Chicago Bulls in the 90s, and Steve Kerr has mentioned that. You know, they win 73 games and then 69, 65, 62. All right, so the Warriors may not approach 73 wins again, but they're going to make sure they're ready for the postseason. They feel like they may have learned a lesson from a couple of years ago.
More Dubs OT right after this.
In the late 90s, San Francisco celebrated the opening of Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Rose's continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours online at rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Rose's Cafe in Cow Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
You know, part of being ready for the postseason, especially when you have some veterans, is making sure that they're rested. And it seems to me like Andre Iguodala, when he gets that rest, he's just amazing. The spring in his legs. They didn't have the shoot-around the other day, which maybe Steve Kerr will go to that more often, not having a shoot-around, because, you know, it makes the older guys like Iguodala fresh. But, you know, Iguodala just looks great when he is fresh like that. You know, that dunk that he had, he just flies through the air. You know, he made some jumpers where he just looked like his legs were underneath him.
Well, yeah, he's the guy that if you give him some rest, he can have those games, but it doesn't come all the time anymore. You know, that's just part of the deal with him. You've got to learn to rest him and pace him, guys like that. The Hamptons 5 lineup, which includes Iguodala, Durant, Clay, Steph, and Draymond, has not been as effective this year, but it was effective against Minnesota. So, yeah, maybe no shoot-around. That's the key, because they were lights out from three-point range, and Iguodala pulled up in the semi-fast break and made a three. Haven't seen that in a while. He's made, I think, about three-pointers since Christmas, something like that. It's amazing. Even for him, he's not counted on. He's been more efficient from three-point range in the past. So that's a guy, you know, they say that your jump shot goes when your legs go. So that's something you have to be mindful of with him going down the stretch and why you wanted that depth this year. And part of the problem for the Warriors is that guys like Omri Caspi have been out. You know, Caspi had an odd situation where I guess he had some flu symptoms and he was dehydrated, caused him back spasms. So that set him off the tracks for a few games. JaVale McGee's been in and out of the lineup. But, you know, Caspi's a guy who you could count on coming off the bench and providing points for you. So he hasn't been there. You know, they've gotten through it. They're fine. It's just that you like to have these guys ready to go in the postseason. I think Iguodala still remains such an important guy for them coming off the bench.
Yeah, there's a lot of important guys. It is amazing how they can miss a player or two and not miss a beat. You know, even when they've missed Steph Curry, they were still winning basketball games. Right now, it's, you know, it's Jordan Bell who's out for a while. And,
yeah.
You know, they kind of miss his enthusiasm, his shot-blocking ability and all that. But other guys plug the holes. You know, McCaw was out. McCaw's supposedly going to be back for the Celtics game. I mean, hopefully. You don't want anybody to miss a significant amount of time, though, because then when you get down the stretch of the season, they won't really be in sync with everybody else. So I think that's what it's going to come down to when you do get towards playoffs time, is who's healthy, who's kind of in the mix, mm-hmm. You know, being in rhythm with everybody.
Yeah, get them in sync by the time you get to the postseason. It may not matter, for example, the first round as much as it would when you get to the Western Conference Finals, and assuming they do get there, and assuming they face the Rockets, for example. That's when they want to be firing on all cylinders, because the Rockets are going to be a good challenge. I still favor the Warriors in a series against Houston, probably in five games, believe it or not, even though Houston's beaten them 2 out of 3, and now is it Clint Capella saying they're not as good as us? We know we're better than
yeah,
them.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, show me when the parade is in Houston, okay? you don't get a parade for winning a regular season series, and the Warriors know that. But Houston's an improved team. So you want to be on all cylinders by the time you get to the Western Conference Finals, assuming you do. You want to be healthy. But I think the message to guys like, whether it's Jordan Bell, JaVale McGee, whomever, is, hey, we've had some injuries this year. There are going to be times when we need you to step up, so stay focused, stay engaged in the process. And an example is Kevon Looney. And Looney's got some significant minutes of late and has played pretty well, starting to look a little more comfortable, understanding his role with this team. And one of the things he brings is that length, you know, that can disrupt passing lanes, that can tip rebounds, things like that, little things. He's kind of figured out a way, and he's a real good rebounder, and it's great to have guys like that as long as you've got the firepower elsewhere on the floor.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation at Toscalito Tire and Automotive in San Rafael after this from Toscalito.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971. With quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you, Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Yeah, great to have you with us here on Facebook Live. We are at Toscalito Tire and Automotive. They are the best. They've got locations all over the Bay Area. We're at the 496 Las Galinas store in Terra Linda area of San Rafael. Beautiful day. Just stop on by and you can talk Warriors, get your tires changed. And you might need some new tires. The weather's been wet. Got to check your tires.
Yeah.
It'll be dangerous if
absolutely.
You don't.
Absolutely.
And and by the way.
Actually, I need some new tires.
Can I get you in there before this is over with? And by the way, you know, you have Facebook watchers, Facebook Live watchers that come and go. And I appreciate everybody, all the friends I have on Facebook. Tommy John is watching us right now.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, that's Tommy John surgery, okay?
Is that the real Tommy John?
Yeah, the real Tommy John. It is.
Really?
Because, yeah,
hey,
mean,
Tommy.
I haven't talked to Tommy in a while because I know him a little bit because when I was in the International League broadcasting AAA baseball, he was in Charlotte, and he was a part of their broadcast team and always at the ballpark, and somehow we're Facebook friends. And
my favorite pitcher.
Okay, well, yeah, Marty over here from Big Cat Advertising,
okay.
That's his favorite pitcher ever. So thanks, Tommy.
Well, just a little aside. I know we're talking Warriors here, but this is not a great memory for Tommy, but I happened to be at the game when he was pitching for the Dodgers in 74. I was there in the stands when he walked off the mound, right? It's like this elbow, something's wrong with it, and he walked off the mound and into a very uncertain future, and, of course, he became part of the pioneering
of surgery.
That was
right.
And. Yeah, and he was having.
I was home crying.
Marty's gotten over it though. I think Marty's okay now. But after that, he won 160 games. You know, and paved the path for all these other pitchers to save their careers, and that's why I've felt, and I've said this for a long time, he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm not playing up to you, Tommy, just because you're watching. I have said that on the air a lot. So,
all right, back to basketball. And, you know, speaking of Hall of Famers, you've got Hall of Famers in the NBA that get very upset about officials. And it's been a big topic of conversation really all season long for us and for everybody about how players are complaining really too much and being emphatic in their complaints to officials. And just recently, Kevin Durant, you know, really went off on an official, and he apologized after. Mm-hmm. He actually said, Kevin Durant said that he was being a jerk, which, you know, I thought that was really nice of him to do that. I don't think he had to. I don't even know that he should have been ejected from that game. He slammed one ball down and he caught it. It wasn't like he threw it in the stands. But in any case, it is a problem. And, I mean, I hope they can sort of minimize the amount of complaining that's going on, all the moaning that players are doing, and officials having a chip on their shoulder sometimes. I mean, I think both sides have to come together here.
Yeah, and now they have an effort to do that. Kevin Durant is right about this, though. You know, when you go home at night after a game, you're not thinking about the officials, and the officials shouldn't be thinking so much about the game, although, you know, if you're just getting started out, it's hard not to. After you've done it for a while, maybe it kind of rolls off your back, you know, like water off a duck's back. But I think it's important for them to at least try to have some sort of agreement and understanding, and know each side better as people, because they're all in this together. They're all part of trying to make this league watchable for fans. So they're kind of all working toward the same purpose, although it doesn't seem like it in the heat of the battle. But here's the thing. That's the key phrase, the heat of the battle, the heat of the moment. You're never going to stop this stuff from happening completely. It's just human nature, right? It's just human nature for, I think, any person. If they like a player, they might give them a break once in a while. That's just, you know, natural stuff. And, you know, the NBA is always going to push the star-making machinery, right? So that's going to mean that the star players, by and large, are going to get a little more of a break as well. You know, it's from back in the day, from Michael Jordan, whomever. Although, you know, there's the whole thing about Jordan rules that is the counterpoint to that. But by and large, the stars get the benefit of the doubt. That's just part of what the league is. You try to close that gap a little bit and make it a little more fair where you can. But, you know, in the end, you're dealing with people here. And so there are going to be some passions. There are going to be some grudges. You know, there's going to be stuff going on here and there. But I think it is important to try, and again, to know each other better as people.
Well, how do you avoid the grudge? Because, I mean, I think it is true. I agree with what you're saying. And Kevin Durant said, you know, the official's coming after me. You know, he's looking for an excuse to make a call. So how do you avoid that? I think that you back off as players. I put more of this on the players than I do on the officials. Yes, there have been some bad calls. I mean, I thought Durant had a clean block on one of those, and it was just, how is there a foul call there? Well, you got to, again, it's emotional, like you said, but you got to back off a little bit. I think Draymond has backed off a little bit lately.
He has, but
I think he's going to have to do that all the way through, even in the playoffs, because these officials are looking for him. They're looking for him to do something, and they're going to nail him, and it's going to hurt the Warriors.
Yeah. Well, it has in the past, as far as the league was concerned. But Draymond, I think, has made a conscious effort to try to tone it down a little bit. I think Kevin Durant is conscious of it. This year, you know, he's blown up as far as technical fouls near the top of the league. And I think that he's conscious of it. And, you know, but the proof's in the pudding. What's going to happen toward the rest of the year? What's going to happen in the playoffs? You get in the Western Conference Finals for a game that's going to be a pivotal game to tip the scales. You know, where are the passions there? Like I say, you're never going to get rid of this stuff. You just aren't. But what we have noticed, and, you know, I go back to Mike Breen being on our podcast a few weeks ago, and we talked about this. There was a concerted effort about 5 or 6 years ago to have a no-tolerance policy toward this. And they were teeing up players left and right for, you know, looking sideways, giving the side eye. Well, that has loosened over time, and the whole pendulum has swung the other way to where now you've got these multi-million-dollar players berating officials who make a fraction of what they make. And
right.
It's not a great look, okay? So, you know, bad calls happen. But the best officials talk to you about, and maybe they say during the game, hey, I missed that, you know. And that's where they get the players' respect. It does work both ways. There's no doubt about it. But I think what has happened, I think you're right about this, is it's got to be on the players now to make a better effort to you know, not beat up on the referees as much as they have been. You know, this is halfway through the season, a little over halfway. I don't know how you're going to see it change a whole lot, except for a player is conscious of possibly getting suspended when they hit that threshold. Maybe you change the threshold. That's another thing you do. I don't know.
But you got two Warriors at the top of the technical list.
Yeah.
Draymond Green.
League leaders in all categories.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this week, just the other day, before the game against the Timberwolves, the All-Star selections were made. Team LeBron, Team Steph, and I love it. I actually love the idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it should be televised like a lot of people. I mean, I think everybody's clamoring for that, and I think Steph kind of changed around on that. At first, he didn't like that idea because it could ruffle some feathers who he's picking. Now he's come around, although he can't be the captain next year.
Right.
From what I understand, you can't do it 2 years in a row, so maybe that's why he came around. He didn't mind it being televised next year.
Yeah.
I don't know, but in any case, it would have been fun to see them do it live.
I think so, and hopefully they'll get around to doing that next year. I heard Steve Kerr say, you know, there's no shame in getting picked last on an all-star team. And I thought to myself, well, there's a little shame. Yeah, there's a little bit.
Well, they were saying you get a maybe you get a prize and it make it feel better.
Maybe so, like Mr. Irrelevant
Mercedes?
In the draft or
right.
Something. You know, yeah. Yeah, really, if there's a prize involved, it's like, go ahead, pick me last. It's funny, Russell Westbrook thought he was picked last by Team LeBron. It was actually, the list was in alphabetical order.
Right. So he was sensitive about that, yeah.
Yeah, W's at the end there. I know about that. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea. I think they should televise it. You get picked last, so what? You're last among all-stars. You're still on a gathering of eagles. But hopefully they can figure out a way to do that next year and make it fun. Because from what it sounds like, and, you know, here you got a couple of guys who are real competitors in LeBron and Steph. You know, they started out being friends when Steph got into the league. Then Steph was a threat, and it got a little more heated. But they were able to put that all aside. This weekend is for fun, and they had a great time with it. So I'd love to have it televised just for the byplay, you know, between, and maybe have some of the players who are getting drafted involved and have their commentary too. I think it'd be great.
You know, I don't think it's about the last player thing for me. I if I were picking, I would say the concern would be that if I'm trying to pick my best team and I've got teammates, which Steph Curry did, that are sitting there, I can't ruffle those feathers because that's going to hurt me in the long run.
Right.
And of course he didn't, because when he had a chance, he picked Clay. And he was, you know, he's able to get him and Draymond. Now, he didn't get Kevin Durant, which clued everybody in, even though it's not official. We know Kevin Durant was the first pick of the draft for LeBron.
Yeah, and Durant said so later on, and that gets Steph off the hook, of course, because LeBron had the pick. And, you know, you saw after the game the other night, Durant throwing a towel at Steph, said, Team LeBron, Team LeBron, you know. So it's good. It's all in fun. I think it's something that's needed. What are we talking about? $100,000 for the winners and $25,000, I want to say, for the losers?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. So, good. Put a little money up there as well. You'll probably see him play a little harder. It'll still be, you know, 150 to 140 game, but maybe maybe a few more defensive stands. You know, you usually see that in the All-Star game if it's close in the last 3 minutes, right? You might see some defense there. You might see a little bit more in this game, but it'll still be the entertainment that we're used to.
You know, I actually heard this. This is not my idea. I won't take credit. It might have been Anthony Slater from The Athletic who said this. I love this idea. He said, why not pick the teams right before the game? So that would be just like the playground. Like,
yeah.
The guys are just standing there, and they have reversible jerseys. Mm-hmm. And just pick them right before the game. That would be cool.
In front of everybody on the court.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, just put it on the PA system as well as on live television.
Right. Well, a little more pressure for Steph and LeBron. I mean, you know, whoa, I got everybody watching me do this. But I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've gone this far, right? So why not do that as well? I'm all for that because it's gotten to a point where it's become a joke. The game's become a joke. The highlight has been the Saturday night, right? The three-point shooting contest, the slam dunk contest, and that. So a little more focus on the game. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
All right, let's finish up by talking about the meaning of this Celtics game, because it is hard during a long season like this to put so much emphasis on one game. I mean, we did it a lot with the Cavs. We did it with the Rockets. We did it a little bit with Oklahoma City. And the Warriors, I mean, they've had their butts kicked in some of these games. You know, you look at the Rockets, they lost 2 out of 3. Yeah. They lost the opener. They did not play great in Houston. They had their butts kicked by Oklahoma City. Right. But, you know, they've won those two games against Cleveland, so they rose to the challenge there. They lost the first time in Boston. What does it mean to you? I think it does have meaning, especially when you start thinking about this could be a finals matchup.
It could be. And Steph mentioned it after the game in Boston. And a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but he said, you know, I hear the weather's nice in Boston in June. Right. Yeah, so he knows. I forget who I was talking to on the air a few months ago. It was one of the national writers, and I mentioned, hey, Boston is right on top in the East. They're going to be a threat, and he kind of poo-pooed that. I said, well, I mean, look at what they have defensively. Look at the talent and the talent they're going to get. This is a team that's set up for a run in the East. And you can see Cleveland receding with, you know, LeBron possibly going elsewhere, that Boston is set up with the talent they have, with a young coach who's very smart and has Steve Kerr's respect from the time that he took Butler to 2 NCAA finals in a row. I was there for one of them in Houston. That was a brick fest. You know, Butler shot 30% in that game. They would have won it against UConn, but a very smart coach. And then you get all the high draft picks they have over the next few years, some which they could deal for a star player or, you know, once again, get in, for example, the Lakers pick between 2 and 5. This team is set up to be a force in the East for the next several years. So I think what we're seeing is the beginning of that with the game that Boston won, you know, a couple months ago and tomorrow night, that these games, as opposed to Warriors-Cavaliers, are going to take on added meaning now.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's going to be super pumped up. I mean, I think at times this year the crowd has not been as pumped up because they kind of just expect it. Everybody's expecting a W for the Warriors, and this one tonight it has more intrigue to it.
Yeah, yeah, this is more of a, you know, marquee regular season game. I mean, you know, this is one I'm sure that'll get everybody's full attention on both sides, and I think the crowd will be hyped. It'll be Saturday night. It's going to be a little earlier. Yeah, the atmosphere has not quite been there. You know, it's there from time to time, but not as consistently as it was a couple of years ago. And I guess, you know, you get used to them being so good. The other part of it, the Warriors have thrown out some clunkers at home this year. They've lost to lesser opponents. They have put out some of their better efforts on the road, and they have a better record on the road. But I think when it comes down to it in the postseason, it'll be hyped up again. So we'll get a little glimpse of that hopefully tonight.
All right, so enjoy the game, everybody. Thanks for watching on Facebook Live. Again, stop by here at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, 496 Las Galinas. It's right off 101, the Terra Linda exit. And get your tires. Get your new tires.
We've got some beautiful ones here. We got some, look at those wheels there.
We got nice tires all around us here.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful shop.
Service, too, by the way.
Absolutely.
Yes, get your service done. It's a beautiful day, so it's easy to just drop in. You don't have to worry about rain or anything that we've had lately.
Listen, and in this time of the year when you get the rain, like you said, excellent point at the start of the podcast, Joe. I mean, with the weather the way it is, you want good tires on your car. Yeah. And like I said, I might need to go out there and get some right now.
Who knows? Maybe some Warriors will be stopping in here, too, after they see.
That's right.
Because you know they were watching us this entire podcast.
Well, listen. I hear from every single one of them after these podcasts. So believe me, I watch my P's and Q's.
Coming up, we'll go to the locker rooms at Oracle Arena. After the Warriors win over the Celtics, we'll hear from Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, and Kyrie Irving right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
After the Warriors' Saturday win over the Celtics, Steph Curry talked about the atmosphere on the floor.
Yeah, it was playoff intensity, back and forth. No, besides that first probably 8-10 minutes, nobody could really get any separation. So, you know, I would say a defensive battle pretty much the whole game. and you know, guys making plays all over the court. So it was a fun game. It was intense. It was hard fought for all 48 minutes. So that is kind of, you know, what you expect in the playoffs for sure.
You had a seemed like a pretty nice moment conversation with Kyrie post game. Is that as fun a point guard duel as you've had in a long time with somebody?
I don't know, but you just know what he's about. He's an amazing player. The way he started the game tonight was pretty crazy. It felt like we were defending him pretty well. He just made some tough shots, a lot of tough shots, and you know, got his team a lot of momentum. But you know, we try to bring the best out of each other, and tonight was kind of one of those nights, and you know, just a fun way to play. Obviously, we want to try to slow him down a little bit next time, but it was fun.
That's Steph Curry, who had a season-high 49 points, hit 8 three-pointers in the game Saturday, and head coach Steve Kerr talked about drawing up lots of plays for Curry on Saturday night.
We did it more because he was going, and also because we were not getting a lot of clean looks out of some of our other offensive sets. So we, you know, we can always turn to Steph on a high screen, and you know, on a night like tonight, when he's going, it's actually the best option. So he was tremendous, and you know, we only had 19 assists. I think that's a season low. So it was much more of a you know, an isolation style game than we like, but that's what they do. That's why they're the best defensive team in the league.
That's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Let's go over to the other locker room. Kyrie Irving had a team high 37 points, an amazing 13 of 18 from the field on Saturday, and he described the matchup with the Warriors from the Celtics' perspective.
I'm looking, you know, on the floor, and you know, I'm on a new team, and you know, we got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and you know, we're in Shimmy Ojeleye and Daniel Tyus, and they're just thrown into like the high level one seed versus one seed type of battle, and it demands everything from you mentally, you know, physically, and you know, you got to bring it because you're going against the champs. And you know, being in an Oracle, you know, high level, they go on their run, Steph's being unbelievable, the crowd's going crazy, and you know, it's a lot to consider. And you know, for us, we just take it as a learning experience. I told them before the game, just take advantage of the opportunity, you know, and stick together and be able to weather the storm. They're an incredible team, but we're a developing young team as well, trying to be great as well. So you just have to have that confidence and be unwavering in your approach, and you'll be all right.
That's Kyrie Irving of the Boston Celtics. Thanks, everybody, for watching and for listening. Thanks to Tommy John, by the way.
Yeah, how about that? A celebrity sighting. And thanks to the folks at Toscalito Tire.
Yes,
and our studio audience.
Yeah, thanks to Marty and Gail from Big Cat Advertising as well. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.